Every spring, I like to pull out my copy of the Sand County Almanac and read Aldo Leopold's entry for the month of March, The Geese Return. One swallow does not make a summer, but one skein of geese cleaving the murk of a March thaw is the spring. A cardinal whistling spring to a thaw, but later finding himself mistaken, can retrieve his error by resuming his winter silence. A chipmunk emerging for a sunbath but finding a blizzard has only to go back to bed. But a migrating goose staking 200 miles of black night on the chance of finding a hole in the lake has no easy chance for retreat. His arrival carries the conviction of a prophet who has burned his bridges. Although they have been shot at most of the winter, as attested by their buckshot battered pinions, they know that the spring truce is now in effect. They wind the oxbows of the river, cutting low over the now gunless points and islands, and gabbling to each sandbar as to a long-lost friend. They weave low over the marshes and meadows, greeting each newly melted puddle and pool. Finally, after a few pro forma circlings of our marsh, they set wing and glide silently to the pond, black landing gear lowered and rumps white against the far hill. Once touching water, our newly arrived guests set up a honking and splashing that shakes the last thought of winter out of the brittle cattails. Our geese are home again. Once the geese are in, they honk a clamorous invitation to each migrating flock, and in a few days the marsh is full of them. The returning flocks, once thoroughly at home, omit their pro forma circlings of the marsh. They tumble out of the sky like maple leaves, sides slipping right and left to lose altitude, feet spraddled toward the shouts of welcome below. I suppose the ensuing gabble deals with the merits of the day's dinner. In thus watching the daily routine of a spring goose convention, one notices the prevalence of singles, lone geese that do much flying about and much talking. One is apt to impute a disconsolate tone to their honkings and to jump to the conclusion that they are broken-hearted widowers or mothers hunting lost children. The seasoned ornithologist knows, however, that such subjective interpretation of bird behavior is risky. I long tried to keep an open mind on the question. After my students and I had counted for half a dozen years the number of geese comprising a flock, some unexpected light was cast on the meaning of lone geese. It was found by mathematical analysis that flocks of six or multiples of six were far more frequent than chance alone would dictate. In other words, goose flocks are families, or aggregations of families, and lone geese in spring are probably just what our fond imaginings had first suggested. They are bereaved survivors of the winter's shooting, searching in vain for their kin. Now I am free to grieve with and for the lone honkers. It is not often that cold potato mathematics thus confirms the sentimental promptings of the bird lover. It is an irony of history that the great powers should have discovered the unity of nations at Cairo in 1943. The geese of the world have had that notion for a longer time, and each March they stake their lives on its essential truth. In the beginning there was only the unity of the ice sheet, then followed the unity of the March thaw and the northward hegira of the international geese. Every March since the Pleistocene, the geese have honked unity from China Sea to Siberian steppe, from Euphrates to Volga, from Nile to Murmansk, from Lincolnshire to Spitsbergen. Every March since the Pleistocene, the geese have honked unity from Currituck to Labrador, Horseshoe Lake to Hudson's Bay, Avery Island to Baffin Land, Panhandle to Mackenzie, Sacramento to Yukon. By this international commerce of geese, the waste corn of Illinois is carried through the clouds to the Arctic tundras, there to combine with the waste sunlight of a nightless June to grow goslings for all the lands in between. And in this annual barter of food for light and winter warmth for summer solitude, the whole continent receives as net profit a wild poem dropped from the murky skies upon the muds of March. That was Aldo Leopold's Sand County Almanac. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.